The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hey, good morning. It's Sunday, but you already know that. Hopefully, if you're on your way to church, you are tuning in while you're driving to We the People Radio. We are at KCNR 1460 Shasta Redding. We are streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us, and feel free to pick up that phone and give us a call with anything that you think, feel, or have an opinion about. 530-605.
Who brought that in?
4567. Yeah, that's true. We don't want to hear about that. Sorry, we just want to know what you think.
And wethepeopleradio.us has all of our archives. So if you are on the way to church, you can't hear the rest of the show.
Yeah, listen to it later.
Listen later.
We do that all the time.
We had to listen. I had to listen later because I missed the first, 10 minutes last week.
Yeah, but that was a funny show.
You guys did a nice job.
Thank you very much.
Filling in.
Thank you.
I hope you gave the officer your business card.
I didn't, but I think I saw him at Black Bear Diner.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's totally weird.
Monday night?
No, later in the week, I was, I don't know, I met Bill in town and we went to Blackburn. I was like, I know that guy. He looks really grumpy. Who is that guy? And then it was 2 days later, I thought, oh, I know who that guy was. Who's the guy who gave me that yellow ticket? I haven't been to the P.O. box, so I cannot report in how much it cost me.
I can't wait to hear. You have to definitely tell us when that, when that little yellow piece of paper shows up in your mailbox.
Yeah. Ask him if he wants to be on the show.
Yeah. Let's tell him how. Let's talk to him about being a revenue generator for the state of California and how he likes his job.
Well, you know, I couldn't get over the fact that I'd been out of bed 6 times. 3 of them were to the doctor. The first one I witnessed an alleged crime that was not. So I was a witness. The next time I got hit by that rock, so I was a victim, and then I was a criminal. Because I broke the law.
So,
I thought, you know, I should stay in bed.
But nothing exciting in the last week.
Nothing's happened in the last couple of days. We drove all the way to Alturas yesterday and all the way back to the Support Rural America Sheriff's Panel, which was awesome, by the way.
Great.
And I'm sure there will be video up on that shortly.
Yes.
There were several people filming.
And I was in Sacramento at the Eagle Forum Conference on Agenda 21 and the Green Movement. And again, a video will be up on the website so that you can see that as well. And for all of those people that I hope are listening right now that I met yesterday that recognized my voice, it was great meeting you. I hope that you are tuning in, and I hope we see each other again real soon.
Well, it's fun to put some faces with, you know, we talk to a lot of people, you know, authors and different things on the radio, and then we never get to meet them in real life.
So I got to meet some of them, and plus all of the regular folks that that are there from their tea parties, from their coalitions and their groups throughout the state of California fighting this Agenda 21 and all of its associated regulations. You know, those are folks doing everyday jobs and raising families. And
did you get the books?
No, I didn't.
No, you're killing me.
Well, actually, I talked to Orlene, and she said that she didn't really have any books for you. She just basically
Kay. Rosa Corey had...
Okay. No, I never saw Kay.
Oh, okay, good. Because Rosa Corey had somebody who donated enough books of her book, Behind the Green Mask, for all the sheriffs in California.
Nice.
And John Lopey, the sheriff in Siskiyou County, is having a meeting in June. Happened to be talking to him, and he has a meeting in June, so he's going to deliver them all.
Excellent.
So,
and if you haven't read that book, I read it in probably 4 or 5 hours.
Unlike the
it's
book we're going to
read.
We're going to talk about today, The Dumbing Down of America, which is gigantic.
You know, and yesterday at the Eagle Forum, Michael Kaufman, Michael Shaw, Warren Duffy, the Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson, who I met, is absolutely...
I know, isn't he a great guy?
He's hilarious.
I know he is.
So all of them agreed to either be on the show again or to be on the show for the first time, and Americans for Prosperity met that gentleman. So, got a lot of people coming on. We'll be working on that really soon.
Did Jesse Lee Peterson have protesters?
No, he didn't.
Oh, well, we saw him in Southern California when we were there, like, just at the first weekend of March, I guess it was. And he was speaking to, I don't know, 60 people, 50 people mm-hmm. in a little conference room at a hotel. So it wasn't, like, a publicly advertised right. thing. It was, we were already there for all day.
Yeah.
And he pops in, and he's got a handful of protesters out there.
Wow.
He just...
Not to be... Well,
controversial.
I don't care about being politically correct, but... Were those protesters black or white?
They were loud.
And the reason I ask that is because
I saw their signs.
What he said yesterday was because, and he said, I am not an African American, I'm an American. But, but those are the folks that are protesting him the most. Because they, you know, he's a conservative.
Right.
And, he's apparently not supposed to be. So he finds that, it's folks from the African American community that are protesting him the most.
Yeah, I can't think of his organization is Bond, B-O-N-D.
Yeah, B-O-N-D.
I don't remember what it.
Yeah, and I don't have his information with me. But
if you search
at
that,
risk,
if you,
at risk kids.
Yeah, and if you looked up Jesse mm-hmm. Lee Peterson on the internet, you'd find it.
And the thing that he's had that organization now for 20 years. He's got a great radio show that he does on a regular basis. I think it's daily, and has a great newsletter. But he's never once taken a dime of any public government financing. No grants, no nothing.
Oh.
Nothing, he said. Not
nice.
A dime. Kind of like Hillsdale College.
Bond stands for Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny.
There you go. There Thanks, Bob.
I knew it was kind of tricky. Cool, but tricky. And he runs that Tea Party in L.A.
Yeah. Is it Ventura?
I don't.
Okay.
I mean, L.A. is...
Okay. You know, Orange County somewhere.
For those of us who've never lived there, we can just say L.A. because it's just a big place down there.
But, you know, the thing is, and when we get him on our show, is his talk yesterday was phenomenal to me because he talked about racism. And he basically said, you white folks have to stop being afraid of being called racist because you're not
the
ones.
He told us that, too.
He says, you're not the ones that are.
Yeah, he said that that's, I mean,
we're so
we already know that we're afraid. Yeah, we get afraid.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the N-word. He said, why are you guys so worried about using it? They're the one, you know, it's the African-Americans that use the word, not you.
Yeah, I liked him. I think he's a dynamic guy.
Awesome.
I think he has a great message.
Yeah, he really does.
You guys had a great list.
I know. I love his delivery of his message.
Hey,
he's so funny.
Tell me to, okay.
All right.
He sent me some funny text messages.
Here's
the one about the chopsticks.
Okay, I kind of made that one up.
I
thought it was hilarious.
Tell people again about the Chinese thing. Here we go. The 20-year anniversary of the Rio Earth Summit is to be held again in June in Rio.
Mm-hmm.
And as its general ambassador, the People's Republic of China.
Yeah, well, you know, the
biggest polluter in the world.
And Agenda 21 was originated in the United Nations in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, and they are going to have their 20th anniversary in Rio again in June of this year. And the government that will be presiding over Agenda 21 and the green movement and global warming, climate change, blah, 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 will be the People's Republic of China, who are the biggest polluters in the world. So if you don't see the irony there, I don't know. You need to do some homework.
Well, and then we did that show with Warren Duffy that we've played mm-hmm. like 3 times because it was so much fun.
Oh,
and,
yeah. I talked to him, I said, you know, we replayed you on Easter. It was just as funny the second time.
No, we replayed him on some other holiday, too. But he's the guy who's, you know, we've started talking about.
Have you met him?
No,
he's
never
so
got
cute.
To meet him. He's darling.
He's just, you know, he's
Is
got
he smiling in person.
Super smiley. He's totally bald.
Mm-hmm.
But he wears these really nice suits, and he's just like this really. He's just got this look, you know, that's just dynamic.
He's a fun
hilarious,
guy.
And he did a visual skit on what cap and trade looks like and how it works. And he had one woman posing as a dairy farmer,
mm-hmm.
and then he had another woman posing as the California state government, and he was the guy in the middle that was actually getting 4% off the top of all of the carbon credits. And he did this skit of how it works and what it looks like. And, of course, it was hilarious. So when we get him on the show, I want him to do that skit on the air. And Bob said he could come up with some canned laughter and some canned applause to kind of fill in where we can't actually see what he's doing.
We can't, like, summon enough laughter to fill in the gap?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know we were having a shortage of that.
Before we go to a break, would you like to say hello to Charlotte?
Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, Charlotte.
You know, we have, you called Charlotte.
We have a new format now, Charlotte. We're shooting the breeze a little longer than we used to.
Okay.
Well, Elizabeth was on assignment yesterday out to find us other speakers, and so we had to play catch-up. So I've had people on the chat room asking, when's so-and-so going to be on? It's like, okay, we don't know yet. We haven't booked them, okay?
Chill. Take a chill pill.
Yeah, in the meantime, you guys have 2 minutes. You have to be speed readers. You have 2 minutes to jump on wethepeopleradio.us. I want you to go there, click on the program for today, and if you're not on the chat room already, if you click the listen button, it'll come up and show you the chat room. But below that, on the page of the website, is the article we're going to be talking about with Charlotte today. And I think the seven prongs, I mean, we could probably talk about them for, you know, five shows.
Mm-hmm.
So just skim through those and at least be familiar with the headings of those, because that's where we're headed. That's our we actually have a roadmap today. We tried to have a roadmap last week. And,
yeah, we generally don't like to do that.
Obviously, I derailed the roadmap, so this week will be different. We will be back with you in 2 minutes here. You're listening to We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Redding. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it. You might get out, or the devil even knows you're there.
Okay, so be a good girl and stay out of the hot zone.
Yeah, but see what it said, if you're going through hell, don't slow down. I could have used that. Where was that song last week?
I know. Well, Bob just wasn't on his game. He didn't know what the topic was going to be. Had we known.
I was saving it for Charlotte.
So you're joining We the People Radio with Aaron Elizabeth and Bob Martin and our very special guest back again, Charlotte Iserbeet. And Charlotte, I'm just going to cut to the chase and let you take over. We are talking about the devil's seven-prong fork. So prong number one.
Yeah, well, let me point out that this article is on the Internet. I mean, you can just type it into Google and you'll get it. That way, the devil's seven-prong fork. But you can also get it at my website. Websites are very important. I've got two of them to mention. One is deliberatedumbingdown.com, and that is a that covers my out-of-print, great big 700-page book. That is a free download, so it's not like it's out of print and nobody can read it. That is where my big book is. But there are other very important articles on that website as listed as PDFs. And you can forward them all over the place to your friends if you want. There are quite a few there on President Reagan and the truth about him. And they're, you know, very good stuff on North American Union, you name it, all the things you're interested in, PDFs. And then there's my son's website, which I really just think is fantastic, and everybody does. It's called AmericanDeception.com. And that's, you should go in there, and let me point out right now that if you're trying to find an individual article or something, you may be very lucky by typing it into the search engine, but my feeling is your best bet is to just click on all and scroll all the way down. He's got 150,000 pages there of authentic, hand-scanned documents going all the way back, you know, to the beginning of history almost, through the present, which deal with regionalism, education, the environment, everything. That website is so very important, AmericanDeception.com. Now, my website is for my original great big book, Deliberate Dumbing Down. It has a lot of my own articles on it as well. Now, my new book, not new book, but it's the revised, abridged, updated, that's the most important part of this new one, the revised, abridged one, of the Deliberate Dumbing Down is available at Amazon.com. That's a marvelous, smaller book, very user-friendly. And the update is what has driven everybody crazy. Everybody, I say, in the neoconservative movement, they don't like the update. Well, get the book and you'll find out why they don't like the update. Because we've just had to tell the truth about who is behind the complete change in our form of government, our economic system, our free market system, our representative form of government system, etc. And unfortunately, at this point in time, the neoconservatives seem to get the gold medal for that one. That doesn't mean that the left hasn't been pushing it ever since Lenin. But anyway, it's interesting that we end up just about to lose our country right now to communism, and we have the neoconservatives in charge of it, right? And the tax-exempt foundations, as usual. But anyway, that little book is very important. It's the updated, abridged, revised, a bit, deliberate dumbing down of America. Instead of 750 pages, it's 477 pages. However, what we've taken out, we had to very judiciously remove sections of the original big book. We took out the appendices, the index, the glossary, this, that, and all. But all of those sections that we took out can be accessed, as I said earlier, at my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com, because that website has the 750-page book on it as a PDF, and it can be downloaded free. So nobody's missing anything. When they get the smaller version, which is absolutely delightful to be able to take on vacation, I wouldn't take it on vacation, it would ruin your vacation, but wherever you want, as long as I'm sitting at home, it's a very lightweight. And it gives you the complete history of how our American public school system has been deliberately destroyed to move in with public school, with charter schools, unconstitutional charter schools, which will train for the workforce, because the agenda since 1934, and folks, you don't have to remember all of this, it's all in my book, and if you don't want to buy the new book, you can go to the free download. You don't have to take notes. The agenda was started in 1934 by the Carnegie Corporation, and that little book, Conclusions and Recommendations for the Social Studies, is at my son's website. You can read it at AmericanDeception.com. It's a report in there funded by the Carnegie Corporation, and it calls for using the schools to change America from a free market system to a planned economy in the new order. 1934. Okay, so that little book is probably, when people ask me, what's the most important document you ever ran across, that's it. Because people say, oh, well, that's 1934, why is she going all the way back that far? Almost 100 years, Because Carnegie, every 5 years, has come up with more funding, along with the other tax-exempt foundations who jumped on board, to do exactly what Carnegie planned in 1934. And that was when so many of our educators and government people were going back and forth to the Soviet Union at the peak of the criminal experiment, and coming back with these wonderful ideas about communism. And so basically, why all of are your good people out there, listeners and all, you're looking at this thing and you're saying, gee, but, you know, this does look right. This sure looks at least like socialism. What are they doing with sustainable development? What's this UN Agenda 21? Well, don't forget that the UN was formed by an 80% communist. So why are we surprised that the UN Agenda 21 would be communist? So what we're looking at now is communism. I'm totally convinced. I didn't take me too long after working in the U.S. Department of Ed, which is a Marxist factory, and working under Ronald Reagan, who signed the agreements with Gorbachev to merge the two education systems and created the public-private partnerships which are necessary for school to work. I'm sort of slow. So, folks, it took me a long time to have the guts to tell you that Ronald Reagan wasn't what people think he was. And he may not have been alone in doing this, but he certainly was very important in doing it. And he started the whole ball rolling in the 60s when he was governor of California. He was instrumental in the first move towards regional government. And I sent you, Aaron, you got it in your computer. I sent you the original document on this that proves what Reagan did. It's in your computer as an attachment.
All right.
It's Maureen Heaton's, the great late Maureen Heaton, whose great-great-great-grandfather signed the Declaration of Independence, who wrote The Impossible Dream, the great patriot. She wrote this document, and she included California, state of California government documents to back up her contention. And that was that Governor Ronald Reagan started the whole snowball rolling down the hill with regionalism in California.
With a K.
And you can read it. Read the document. It's there. So anyway, what I'm telling you is we're close to the end. You think I'd like to say that?
Well, and you know,
everybody's just like.
And yesterday, when I attended the Eagle Forum in Sacramento, you know, we had quite a few speakers, and they've all, you know, studied this whole issue in depth and written books and put together their research. And, you know, they're all saying the same thing that you are, and that is that we are on the we're on the edge. And the word communism was used very liberally yesterday.
Well, you know what? I haven't heard anything that's made me happier in the past year than what you just said. Because until we, and as you'll see from the emails I just sent you today, I don't think you've seen them, you may not have your computer, until we recognize that fact, it has been, but all of us discuss this all the time. We're always saying, why? Good Lord, you know, if a doctor gave you 10 CAT scans or MRIs showing your back totally full of cancer, would you just look at the doctor with a blank stare and say, huh?
You know, we had
what?
That's the $64,000 question.
And yes, I mean, truly, folks, I've said to other people like marvelous Bernadine Smith, Mary Thompson, the two greatest patriots, really, in California. And I say that because they've been in it the longest, right? They're both still alive. And, you know, we talk about this. And we say, wow, back in the 60s, because we go back that far, they do. I'm later than they are. I was 70s. But I say, you know, what if in the 60s and 70s, the three of us had the documentation that we are giving to everybody? We're giving this stuff out. I mean, sure, you got to get paid for something. I mean, I hate to think what my book cost. You know, just the marketing alone and packing and shipping and all. But, I mean, over a period of 40 years, I collected these documents. Now you try to get people to look at the truth, to look at what happened. Now it's in a nice little book, folks. It's only 400 pages, huh? But you try to get them to look at it, and they don't want to.
You know, another speaker that was at the Eagle Forum conference yesterday was a woman named Nina Pellegrini, who immigrated from Cuba in the 60s. And she had tears in her eyes when she was talking yesterday because she said, "You have no idea how close we are."
Good.
She should know.
True, you have to have, especially people from the Iron Curtain countries or socialist countries. I used to, you know, tear my hair out because I couldn't get the local school board to pay any attention to me in the 70s, and my husband was Belgian. Of course, the Belgians lived under communism for 1 year. That's something most people don't know. After World War II, the communists were in control in Belgium. But anyway, mostly it's socialism, and that's why my husband came over here and all, and he knows all about it. He knows the whole history of it. I wouldn't know anything if it weren't for him. But I would get him to speak sometimes at a school board meeting for me. And maybe it was his accent, I don't know what, but he would get up and talk about what was going on, you know, like community education or the gifted and talented program is all communism, and people would listen to him. They'd listen to Jan. And I would say the same thing, and they'd say, "Oh, there she goes again." So you're right. I've often felt if we could just go through the telephone books across the country and get all the names that end with SKI, you know what I mean? Eastern Europe, huh? And call those people and get them on our list and say, "We need you," like the Cuban woman you're talking about.
Yeah, to speak out. Well, I forwarded your document, the PDF you sent me this morning. I forwarded it to Robert, so it'll pop up on the page. And so, for people, regardless of when you tuned in, I'm gonna reacquaint you with the roadmap here. If your one stop shop there is to go to wethepeopleradio.us, and when you go there, the top two things listed for this program are Charlotte's website, the deliberatedumbingdown.com, and the next one is americandeception.com. Both of those are also on the 24-Hour Patriots website, so you can find them there under links. But there's a ton of information. Then if you scroll down, go through the material that we're talking about this morning, there is a link to the abridged version of the book. And kind of gives you a little short, you know. It's a whistleblower's account, and it gives a little two paragraphs, so you know kind of what that book is about, and a link if you would like that book. So rather than printing, you know, because I sat there and thought, let's see,
it's great that you did that.
Print
Thank
a 700 page book, or put the link, you know. So you have your choice.
Yeah, no, that's great. And also, we did put an ad up because I found 100 copies of the book. In my barn, I didn't know I had, and brand new copies and all, and I'm selling them much less. The original book, right? The biggie.
Oh, wow.
I'm selling them at much discounted price compared to the rest of them on Amazon, etc. So they're signed copies.
Hey, Charlotte,
I'm signing them, and if people want them specially signed, they have to pay a little extra because that is a pain in the you-know-what. But anyway, I will do it, but I have to pay a little extra, but you'll see that ad. There are 100 left, and they're going to go. They're already going like hotcakes. So if people are interested in having the hard copy, you know, right in their lap, that four-pound baby, I found 100 copies, hardcover and softcover.
Nice.
And they're advertised at the website today. We put the ad up.
Oh, okay. I was going to say send me a link on how they can do it. Okay, so just...
You'll see it on my regular
DeliberateDumbingDown.com.
You'll see the ad. It says... 100 copies found or something like that.
Oh.
New, unused, signed copies by the author.
There it is.
And that's it. 100.
Perfect. Okay,
so,
we've got to take
getting back...
No, wait, Charlotte, hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. I rolled through another stop sign this week here, apparently, the 831.
Okay. Okay.
Bob's waving at me. So we'll be back in 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes, guys, to go scope all that out, and we'll be right back with you here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Somebody's knocking. Should I let him in? Lord, it's the devil. Would you look at him? I've heard about him, but I never dreamed.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back.
Great choice, non-ordinary
Bob,
world.
To a non-ordinary world where nothing is sane. Hey, just wanted to point out that as we're talking about the things that are on our website at wethepeopleradio.us, and we reference all the videos, all the information, we really need to give a shout-out to Robert.
Except for Bill just had a spaz because he hates shout-out.
I don't care. Sorry, like Bill.
Are we too hip for the room, Bill?
Yep.
What's the other word he doesn't like? Let's see, shout out, and then...
Hold on, we got to watch the window.
I can't remember. He'll come over and tell us. Anyway, just wanted to say thank you to Robert, because Robert is actually the one that does all of this, and
yes,
he's actually really stepped up and travels quite a bit. He was there yesterday at the Eagle Forum, and he goes everywhere and anywhere he's needed, and that's why we have what we have on the website and why we've got videos on YouTube going viral and...
Yeah.
Thanks to Robert.
Absolutely. And that's why we can the page can be updated as we speak.
As we're speaking, yeah.
So thank you, Robert. Huge difference.
Just there is a person behind the scenes doing all of that.
Well, it's nice. Otherwise, we would have to literally say the names of websites over and over and over. Mm-hmm. We would have to email people all the time to answer questions. And this way, everything we talk about gets captured and gets updated.
Mm-hmm.
Phew. Oh, and you're getting thanked in the chat room, Robert, so you're the man. Okay, well, enough about that. So, Charlotte, are you ready to do some prongs for us?
Too. I want to thank Robert because I know what work that is because my son does it a lot of it for me, and he sort of beats up on me from time to time when I get out of line. And in other words, when I tell him to change things two or three times, you know. But anyway, that's a lot of hard work. People seem to think it just flies onto the screen. No, it doesn't. And thank you very much, Robert, for what you're doing, because without you, we would be about 90% behind the eight ball. You know, we're sort of 100% behind right now.
Yeah, I know that he was given a special thank you on Friday night at the Eagle Forum Conference for all of his hard work for them.
Yeah, because he did all the filming last year.
You know, I'm going to do something that's probably not very nice of me to do, but since so many of us...
Life's short. Go for it.
Charter schools to be the Trojan horse, I want to make a point right here now. I hope that Eagle Forum will finally come on board with us, all of us across the country that are fighting charter schools because they are unconstitutional. Forget everything else about them. Forget the fact that they're going to replace the rotten public school system. Forget all those reasons you've been told that they're so wonderful. Remember that they do not have elected school boards. And ask yourself why. Well, you know very well they couldn't put in the Soviet workforce training system with a normal school board voting on it. Do you think they could?
Well, not without the school board being replaced.
Our school boards are pretty bad now. But I rather doubt that they would get a majority of school board members voting to put in an unelected form of government, which is a charter school. No. And anyway, they want to get elected.
Well, and that's just like all of the government bureaucracies that we can't get out of office because they're not elected, and they're the ones that are hammering people with rules, regulations, armed guards, you name it.
They can do anything they want. But you see, that's what the foundations and the Carnegie Corporation in 1934 with outcomes-based ed, the whole thing was planned way back then. People think that the new Skinner method and everything was recent. No. It goes all the way back to 1934. You know, that was Pavlov then. I mean, that's outcome-based education, everything. Charter schools are outcome-based education.
And what does that mean for people who are unfamiliar?
Outcome-based education means performance. It means like a violinist. You know, he can play the violin. But that doesn't require a tremendous amount of thought going on in his head. He's been trained. It's training. It's not education. You know, it's like C.S. Lewis said in a great, great quote. It's in a lot of my articles now. You know, when training beats education, civilization dies.
Wow.
Right? So
sure.
Anyway, this is not new at all. In fact, the Education Commission of the States in 1985 or something admitted that outcomes-based ed, which is also known as standards-based, they use that word now, that really sounds good, standards-based, outcomes-based, performance-based, results-based, all of these, you know, hyphen-based types of education, they are training. They are necessary for workforce training, for global workforce trainings, for your child to be identified at a very early age by the corporations in partnership, thank you Ronald Reagan, in partnership with the private sector, like in Cuba or China or Russia, at an early age, identify the child. I don't know how you can do it when a child's 6 years old, you know what they're going to be doing the rest of their life, but they do, and they will be trained in that specific job. That's why they're putting in what you call, they say it's wonderful, the RISC program, the Reinventing School Coalition, is going in all across the country, DiLorenzo, and it has no grades, no A, B, C, D, F, no kindergarten through 12th grade, no competition, and you can graduate at either 14 years old or at 21. This is, folks, believe it or not, the Soviet system of education. And if you go to the deliberate dumbing down of America, and you'll find a document, I think it was in the early 60s, American educators from the United States Department of Education were sent to Russia to study their system. It didn't mean that they wanted to bring it back at that point, although I don't think that the educators went over there with that intention, right? So they went over, they studied it, they came back. I have the report on that trip they made. And every single thing that they identified in the Soviet education system has been put into the United States education system. So we have now, under what the neocons are giving us, the school-to-work agenda, the charter schools, et cetera, which are essential because each charter school will be training for a different skill, right? They tell the parents now, oh, the charter school is going to be so much better because they're going to focus on Shakespeare, they're going to focus on art, you're going to have more freedom. But no, the charter school will have to administer the federal test just like the public school. The only difference between the charter school and the public school, basically, is, well, there's a big difference because teachers really do not want to train for the workforce. But the major difference is that the public school has an elected school board. And the charter school doesn't, for very good reasons. Yes, Bill Gates, I certainly understand why you like charter schools. You can determine exactly what's going to happen to the children of this country on the computer, because there will be no books. You can determine everything without anybody having any way to say, no, I don't want that. That's what's going in right now. And it's the Soviet system. Yes, it is. It completely. We know. Why did the United States Office of Education spend something? I think I spent $15 million or something. I'm not sure. Go look under Beck in the index to the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. B-E-C-K. American Educator. He wrote a huge paper, research paper, on the importance of Russian education. Well, why would we spend that much money? Why? Huh? Unless we're putting it in. We are putting it in. Why did Ronald Reagan sign the agreements with Gorbachev in 1985? Which was completely covered up by the media. Boycotted. Everything we tried to do to inform people about it. So that's what's going in. Now, at the same time, you marvelous people in California, you're dealing with the other leg of the stool. You're dealing with the Agenda 21, the environmental thing, the sustainable development thing. You got the email today, that incredible book, that thank God we have Kelly Nelson, the great patriot down in Tennessee, who got me that book called the Communist City. I think that's what it's called. I forwarded that to you. That's an incredible book for the Sustainable Development UN Agenda 21 people. They've all got a copy. Heather Gass, Rose has got it now, everybody. That book shows you exactly what they're doing now in California and across the country as well, but I've been following you guys quite a lot. You know, the apartment buildings going up, getting everybody to move out of the countryside. It's all planned. That book was written in 1956 by communists themselves. It's the plan. Did you get that email from me?
I did. And you know what? We're going to take another quick break, or we'll be up against top of the hour and have a gigantic break, which is not fun. While we were on break, we're going to load some other stuff on the site, and I want you guys to check WeThePeopleRadio.us. You'll find the articles on there that we're talking about. So we've got KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. Be right back.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you."
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
One more promise I couldn't keep. It seems no one can help me.
We're wrapping up our first hour pretty quickly here with Charlotte Iserbeet. Hey, Charlotte, Erin was telling me on the break that you were giving her a definition of critical thinking, but she was making her bed and she didn't write it down, so she can't remember. Can you tell us?
Well, you know,
tell us the definition.
To do critical thinking when you're making your bed.
Well, we were talking about what they're not teaching in school.
No, Lenin, if you have my little book, Back to Basics Reform, I don't have it in front of me, but it is included in the big book. Lenin redefined critical thinking, and it was non-absolutist thinking that moves is evolutionary. It keeps moving. It never stays the same. Everything keeps changing. That's critical thinking. If you believe in absolutes and all, that's, you know, we believe in God, you believe in a constitutional form of government, that's not critical thinking. Because you're stationary. We're not willing to give up the Declaration, the Constitution, right? So we're not critical thinkers. In order to be a critical thinker, you have to be willing. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be willing to, you know, change on some things, obviously, right? But things that have been accepted ever since the beginning of time, you know, come down through Roman law, etc., those things should be, we should adhere to them. We shouldn't be putting in regional government. We shouldn't be putting in the workforce training agenda, which is a total planned economy that has been, you know, record of failure ever since it started, huh? So, you know, I hope that helps a little bit. I know that, and I've written articles on this subject, because the educators will tell you and put, they have all of these courses in critical thinking, right?
Yeah.
And I think I better mention this, yeah. Because their definition, their definition of critical thinking is Lenin. It's Marxist. If you look at the major critical thinking, Marzano, and all the people involved in critical thinking, they have Marxist thinking. everything evolves.
Like the same concept as the Constitution isn't a
living document,
a one-time
document.
That's a very
good point. Yes, that's a very good point. And, you know, talking about that and what I should know, what is your website? I've forgotten. I want to write it down.
Oh, it's We The People Radio.
And it all goes together, right?
Correct. We The People Radio.
Yeah, okay.
US. Nope, .us.
Okay.
.com was gone. Somebody beat us to it.
We The People Radio. US.
Yeah. Somebody somebody snagged up the .com because that would have been my logical choice.
Well, I think that's good. Okay, and what I wanted to point out is that the devil's seven-pronged fork, as I said, it's all over the internet, but it's at deliberatedumbingdown.com. It's also at
it's right on our page for this show.
.com. It's everywhere. But I will go through quickly, and I won't go into a great deal of detail, the just the specific points, which are the following. Okay, the dialectic, you know, create the problem, people scream, and you can impose any solution you want if you can get people upset enough. You can usually do it with taxes. It's very good. And then, you know, you can move education funding, by the way, to the state level if you're smart enough. You know, it creates such high taxes at the local level. People scream, property taxes. And then the superintendent kindly says, well, you know, we can help you out with this. We'll just move the funding to the state level, and you won't have to pay so much, which takes away all your local control, which was the goal in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Jeez.
So the dialectic, create the problem, people, and the other part of the dialectic is the right and the left, you know, merging, and finally they go off the cliff together. They get married. Start out one being conservative, the other so-called, you know, liberal left, and then they just keep working together to the point where you have nothing absolute left, right? We're talking about critical thinking, really. The dialectic is a perfect example of Marxist critical thinking. So then we have semantic deception. Simple, you know, tell the parents we're going to go back to basics, and they think it's reading, writing, arithmetic. No, it isn't. It's the Constitution is outmoded. We need to get a world government. We need to have sustainable development, blah, blah. Okay, that's the use of words. George Orwell explained it well. It means one thing to them, one very, very evil thing to them, usually, and it means something pretty good to us. So we don't know what they're... a very good example of that is... well, actually, critical thinking. Decision-making is a good example of this. I remember on the school board, our superintendent tried to get a course in values clarification. That was the old values clarification. Your listeners may not know about it, but it was absolutely destructive of all the traditional values. Went on, you know, for a good 30 years in the school. Sidney Simon was very important in it. I went to the training, you know, to know what they were doing. I went up against it as a local board member. I managed to kill the program in our local school. Even the liberals went with me. The next morning, the superintendent calls me, says, Charlotte, he was upset because it was turned down. He said, you wouldn't mind a course in decision making, would you? And I said, I wish I could look into your beautiful blue eyes. You know very well, Tom, that that's the same thing. And he said, okay. See? Now, if they had gone to the community and said, we want to put in a course in decision making, what good parent would say no?
Hmm? Yeah, sure.
I would say yes.
Sure, sounds good.
Don't you want your children to be able to make it? No, but their decision making is values clarification, which teaches you your parents are old fashioned, the values they believe in, you know, they're good people, but, you know, we're moving into the great new world order and everybody's got to, you know, be politically correct and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So then we go on to major media control, and that was pointed out very clearly when David Rockefeller met with the major media, CBS, Washington Post, all of them in Baden-Baden, early 2000. And he thanked them for keeping the world government plans under wraps. So that tells all of your listeners, you know, they really have, you know, the media has been absolutely controlled here trying to keep people. But your people are doing a good job. It's coming out, you know, Alex Jones, people like that, your people, whatever. It's out of the, cat's out of the bag on that one. Federal Reserve, of course, the Tax Exempt Foundation, endless supplies of money. There never seems to be a problem with money, so that's a very important part of the devil's prong fork, seven-prong fork. Brainwashing in the schools, using operant conditioning, Skinner, Pavlov, values clarification, I was just talking about, brainwashing for a world government, brainwashing away from religion, brainwashing in regard to the environment, etc. Gradualism, terribly important. Frog in the cold water. Your listeners know that. Heated up gradually, you know, like Carnegie, 1934, that was the frog. He started out in cold water, Carnegie Corporation in Pittsburgh. Hmm? And the plan was to use the schools to change America to a planned economy. Socialist, right?
Charlotte, we got to come back with you. We're going to get cut off by the news. We're coming back. We've got Charlotte Izzerbeat after the top of the hour. Go to wethepeopleradio.us, and you can catch up on the program. Back in 5 minutes with the news.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Joining us, Hour 2, We the People Radio. If you're just tuning in, we're streaming and chatting live at wethepeopleradio.us. Our call-in number is 530-605-4567. You're joining Aaron Elizabeth and Bob Martin, and our very special guest for the second time, Charlotte Izzerbeat. You know, I was just thinking
before we get going, though, just so people, especially if they just joined us,
you bet,
go to the website, wethepeopleradio.us, and you will find deliberatedumbingdown.com, the website of our author and our guest here, and you'll find the download of her giant book. You'll find all sorts of other great stuff. Her son's website is American Deception, and I'll tell you what, there is no way you could read that everything on that site.
Mm-hmm.
It is gigantic, and there is a ton of great information. On our radio page is the entire outline of the article we're discussing. So today's a day when you got to plug in on the website now or later at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Ton of information. So there you go.
And don't forget that on that website, we have all of our past shows archived, so you can go back and listen to any one of them. You can email each one of those links out to people far and wide, and I really encourage you to do that, because as much fun as it appears that we have on this show, we have very serious topics, and we've got guests. We have guests who have done their homework on a major scale. So when you click on any one of these shows and then follow the websites that they've put on and read the books and listened to, some of them have radio shows. I mean, there's all kinds of information there.
There was that one show, though, where the guy forgot to call us, or he was sick and he was in England or whatever the deal was, and we had to fill in 2 hours, so you could probably skip that one.
And do you remember the one where our guest was in a hotel? Well,
Doug LaMoffa bailed us out.
No, that was the second time. The first time, it was Elizabeth and I. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. For 2 hours, it was...
Oh, was that before I was...
Yes. Two hours of buffoonery, just us.
And you remember the show where our guest was going to call in, and he was on vacation with his kids in a hotel room, had his cell phone on vibrate or mute right next to him. He was on his computer, had the phone right next to him, and we called him steadily for 45 minutes. Finally, he looks down at his phone, and he's like, oh, I have 7 messages.
Yeah, so that turned out to be a good show. You might, at the beginning, have thought, what the heck, where's the guy? So just fast forward.
Yeah, so anyway. But beyond that, a wealth of information, mostly things that you will never, ever hear about in mainstream media. So I encourage you to check those shows out and send them to everybody that you know and care about.
Bazinga. And there's also a PDF that's been added to today's page, the background paper on President Reagan and the U.S. Department of Education. And what Charlotte told me yesterday was pretty much, if you dare to put it on your website. So apparently if you do that, you're not very popular.
You know, your dreams...
But that's okay.
Your dreams and illusions may be shattered when you listen to this show.
Facts
I hate to say
so
that.
So burdensome.
Yeah.
Okay, so Charlotte, just so that the rest of the program makes sense, would you define for people again, because most of us think critical thinking is a good thing, and, you know, we think, gosh, you know, our kids don't know how to do critical thinking, and they should. But the real definition of critical thinking is...
You said it yesterday better probably than anyone. The old word logic, I think you were talking about how you learned logic in school. And that really is what I'm talking about. That they don't teach that anymore.
See, I thought critical thinking was just the new name.
Logic is really making sense of something. Working it out in your head, thinking. That's the old form of education that we're moving from completely when we're putting in the performance-based. The performance-based is how you act, what you can do, how you can perform. Logic has nothing to do with that. Logic has to do with sitting down with someone and looking at a problem that has to be solved, whether it's building a house or whatever, right? And what goes first? I mean, there's a guy over there who probably has been through a lot of critical thinking courses, Marzano and all, who believes there are no absolutes, so he's not even going to bother to put a foundation in, right? And then you've got the other guy, you know, who thinks logically and realizes that, you know, there's got to be something under there in case we have a hurricane or a tidal wave or whatever, and let's put a foundation in. Now, that's logic. Critical thinking is, as Lenin said, it's evolutionary. You keep moving because, of course, if they wanted to put in world communism, they can't do it all at once. That's gradualism again, right? You're certainly not going to throw that into the face of someone in the 1950s in the United States like they're doing right now. They're not going to throw it right in their face. You know, we want to have sustainable development. We want to have Agenda 21. You can't build your own house without having to pay thousands of dollars to have special things. You're going to have to move into the country to be in a high rise like they have in Beijing, China. Huh? They wouldn't have been able to do that to us back then. No way. So it has to be done gradually. And that was Lenin with the critical thinking. Everything is evolutionary. It keeps, like evolution, huh? Everything keeps moving slowly. And nothing is ever stationary or true. No absolutes, period. Now, so what I suggest people do, they don't listen to me, just type in ASCD, Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. Remember that, ASCD. That's a very important group in the United States that is federally funded, et cetera, attached to the NEA. And then type after it, critical thinking. And you could also type in Marzano if you want. He's one of the leaders in it, Marzano. You're going to have your mind blown. I hope your computer can deal with it, because there are going to be about a million pages of conferences on Marxism. Now, the International Baccalaureate that many of your good listeners have heard of is totally Marxism. That's critical thinking, too. It's Paulo Freire, the Brazilian educator, right? Who, you know, they teach little children, you know, political activism by having them count guns in the classroom or bullets or something, right, in first grade. Hmm? Mm-hmm. This is brainwashing. Type him in, too, if you want, Paulo Freire, F-R-E-I-R-E. He wrote the book Pedagogy of the Oppressed. That'll give you an idea, huh? Critical thinking. When I do hope your listeners haven't fallen for the courses in the public schools that deal with critical thinking. That would disturb me enormously. I thought most of our people knew what critical thinking is.
It disturbs me. Well, I just figured it out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, it's a good question. I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, all of us, we figure everybody sort of knows this stuff because we're so old and ancient and gray-haired and limping along. We figure, and it's good when we're brought up, you know, to face the fact that, no, why should a lot of the young people know these things? Why should they? It's very unlikely anybody's ever going to have shown them a lot of the articles that have been written on this by us. So anyway, it's a very good Good point. Now, I think that what we were dealing with was the fog, right,
yep.
in the cold water. Gradualism, that's pretty easy to understand in a way. I mean, well, it goes in with just what I just said. You know, the young people, they don't know what we're talking about because it's been done gradually. Like Carnegie decided in 1934, after all of our educators had been over to the Soviet Union, that we were going to put that system in here. And then spent, you know, what is it, how many years? It's almost 100 years that Carnegie, Rockefeller, you know, Ford Foundation, Pew Foundation, all of the new ones on board, you know, Walmart, Gates, et cetera, all tax-exempt foundations, all, you know, have been putting this thing in gradually. But Carnegie's is an interesting one to follow because made it easy for me. Like every 5 years, Carnegie would throw a huge amount of money, whether it was for the National Assessment of Education Progress, whether it was for the creation of the Education Commission of the States, whether it was for their signing in 1985 when Reagan did the same thing of the agreements with the Soviet Academy of Science to put the computers in elementary school, whether it was in the 80s and 90s helping out with Bill Bennett and Lamar Alexander and then Clinton and then Obama, all with the restructuring of our schools to destroy the academic school and put in workforce training through charter schools, okay? That Carnegie has been on board. It's like I always say, I think it's, is it Little Red Riding Hood, I think? Where they went to see Grandma, or is it one of
the... Oh, yeah, Little Red... Now you're in my zone now, Charlotte. Yes, it is Little Red Riding Hood, definitely.
Little pieces of bread on the way so that they can find their way back.
No, that was Hansel and Gretel. But
Hansel and Gretel.
They were still in the woods.
I think Carnegie, for me, is like Hansel and Gretel. I mean, I've never had a problem dealing with the chronological history of this mess because I had Carnegie to help me. And right from the beginning, they were communist, and that was the agenda for America, and I wasn't the only one who said that. I mean, when this little book came out in 1934, a professor of British socialism said that this was the agenda for a socialist America. That's what he called it. Carnegie's plan, and it's going in right now, and the key points are charter schools, performance-based, outcome-based education that has no grades of any kind, not K through 12 or A through F, huh? Performance-based teaching, teacher has to teach using Skinner, Pavlov. I could make a pigeon a high achiever. This is Skinner talking. By reinforcing it on a proper schedule. That is what your children are going to be getting on the computer. No books, folks. The computer is so dangerous. Dustin Houston, the head of the World Institute for Computer Assisted Teaching, he laid it all out for us in the mid-80s. He said, won't it be wonderful when the world's leading psychologists can have their work on the software and nobody is going to be able to get between your child and the computer? You like that?
We probably better take a break so people can reassemble themselves. But, you know, just in case people think Charlotte's, out orbiting in another zone. I just want you to know that in California, Bill was just telling me this last night, that in California, you used to be able to fail two classes in order to get all your credits to graduate from high school. But because the graduation rates are so crappy and everything else is so crappy, just thought I'd bring a little crap in this morning, you're now able to fail seven classes during the course of your high school education and still get a high school diploma. So this is just going to be super. We'll have so many more graduates, but they will all be dummies.
Nice and dumb.
I mean, like, that's not what I consider raising the bar. You know, why?
No, that would be lowering the bar.
Exactly. And not a little. You go from two Fs over a four-year period to seven? What the heck? Okay, so we're coming back with Charlotte is her beat. We'll learn more stuff. And you're listening to We the People Radio. Head to the website because you need it really bad. WeThePeopleRadio.us. We're here on KCNR 1460,
like
the home of Free Fire Media.
Walk like an angel. Talk like an angel, but I got wise. You're the devil in disguise, oh yes you are, devil in disguise.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
The gates of hell swing open wide. Invite me, step inside. I'll be your friend.
Nice.
He calls again. I know it's him. Spreading everywhere. Through the smoke I see her there. She's all I see between the devil and me.
Charlotte, welcome back. Diesel.
You know what? Red used to be my favorite color. I think I'm going to have to change that.
You're over it. But that's Charlotte's theme song. The only thing standing between the devil and me.
That's for you, Charlotte.
Hi, you know what I just found for you guys?
No.
I just sent it to you. I went and looked. You know, I asked your listeners to go to ASCD, the Critical Thinking on the web, and I mentioned Paulo Freire, the Brazilian. So I just typed those words in, and it all came up for me. And so you've got the link there. You just click on it. You can see how Paulo Freire, the Brazilian, is involved with all our educators and critical thinking and the whole mess. So I just sent you an email on that.
Cool. We're adding as we speak. This website just keeps exploding.
It's going to end up your book.
Yeah, the website just keeps exploding with more and more information. So by the time the end of the show comes, then maybe you should click on the website.
Well, anyway, I just sent it to you.
Okay, perfect.
And if you don't get it, let me know. I'm sure you will. I've got it right here sent. And you don't need to have anything more about critical thinking than that. It's given you the link. And so parents, really, the minute they hear about that, it's called, you know, here at ASCD.org, publications, educational leadership, blah, blah, beyond grade level, critical thinking, okay? Anyway, all right, so what I wanted to point out here, yes, I'm sure everybody thinks that all of us, I'm sure I'm number one on the crazy list, that's for sure. I don't know that is what I had hoped to be, but there are a few others under me that are getting close to being number one. But Rosa, you know, Dear Rosa, Corey, her fabulous book, and I'm glad to hear that people are buying it in tons of cartons and all. She sent me a super email last week, and I should probably send that on to you, because a teacher sent her through some marvelous comments about the conditioning that she's being required to do in the schools with the children, you know, giving rewards and lining them all up, and total Pavlov. And Rosa sent that to me, and I thanked her. I said, this is the kind of stuff we really need, because nobody believes us. And then the other thing is, you were talking about a very good example there of the dumbing down, where you can fail seven courses or whatever.
Yeah.
The new reinventing school coalition, which is DiLorenzo out of, well, he had his pilot school up in Alaska. They would just choose Alaska to do the pilot programs. Although this is the international curriculum. I know it. This is what's going to go in all over the world, and it's going in Maine right now. His name is DiLorenzo. And that particular curriculum was written up by David Broder of the Washington Post about 8 years ago. Very good article that your great researcher, I mentioned from California, Mary Thompson, sent me 8 years ago on the DiLorenzo program. Well, David Broder, not Charlotte Isserbeek, David Broder said in there, and he didn't really criticize it, he just talked about what the RISC program was all about. And folks, this is what you're going to be getting in California everywhere, okay? So don't think I'm talking about something you're not going to get, huh? It's essential for workforce training. schools that put it in and do a really good job get the Baldrige Award. Total Quality Management Baldrige Award, right? Like your kids or cars? All right. The Alaska school got the Baldrige Award. The Alaska school has no grades,
wow,
no K through 12, no A, B, C, D. Children can graduate, interestingly enough, at 14. That shows what a dumbdown it is, huh? Or 21. It has nothing to do with academics. They'll tell you it does. It has to do with training your children, brainwashing them in the political values, et cetera, necessary for world government and for working in the corporate world. And Mickey Mouse workforce skills that they will be trained in once the partnership between the business and your school has determined what your child should do lifelong. Okay? That is the RISC program. I'm not kidding. Oh, look, jeez, we have the internet. Just type it in. Actually, the new book, the updated version, has some stuff in the update on the RISC program. But if you really want to take a look at it yourself and be able to forward the information around, just type in RISC, and then you can type the name of the professor. It's DeLorenzo, DeLorenzo, and RISC stands for Reinventing School Coalition. Go to the website. They're so proud of themselves. They're not hiding anything. So you don't have to listen to Charlotte.
little secondary proof there.
Yep. I'm in it. It's not good. And I, you know, my family and keeps, and not for my friends all say I have to hang in. You know, the researchers all tell me that too. But my family keeps saying, when on earth, Mom, are you going to stop this? I mean, when is enough enough? And probably your listeners are saying that too right now listening to me. When is she going to shut up?
Actually, they're probably going, how did I miss all this for the last 50 years?
Well, I don't blame them. I mean, and you know what? The devil's seven-pronged fork. Let me make a point on this, because I don't say that in anything I've written. The reason I wrote that article was I had been beating up on people for so many years, like on this program. Folks, wake up, wake up. Don't you see what's happening? Please help. It's your country. It's your children. It's their future. And nobody did anything. And so after an interview, I was thinking to myself, you know, I really feel sorry for these people that I keep telling them, please wake up. And I said, I keep beating up on them, and I'm so tired of just doing this on radio interviews, beating up on them. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, which I really do think it was the good Lord, I swear, I had this message. And it came to me and it said, it's not their fault. And I thought, what? And then I wrote that article, The Devil's Seven-Pronged Fork, immediately. It was like, you know, whatever you want to call it, electric handwriting or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, automatic writing.
Automatic. I wrote that article, and I broke it down into the seven or eight prongs, The Devil's Seven-Pronged Fork. And that explains why, you know, you have listeners today who I love all of them, and some haven't heard this stuff. It will help you understand, I'm glad I'm explaining this to you, why I wrote the article, because it was exquisite how this was done. No human being, not Einstein, not the smartest person on earth, not Bill Gates, not, you know, the marvelous head of Apple Computer who passed away, Steve Jobs, nobody could come up with this agenda the way they did it, unless they were diabolical. And so I broke it down, right? Media control, semantic deception, dialectic, gradualism, plenty of money, education, regionalism, you name it, huh? And I wrote the article. And I always say I've done a lot of writing in my life, but I do believe that that was the most important article I ever wrote, because not only does it tell you how this thing happened, but it helps people understand that they really were victimized. teachers as well, totally victimized by a diabolical plan that really came from evil. I mean, total evil. That's why people don't understand what we're talking about.
Yeah,
it's hard to... gradually.
Yeah, super slowly. I mean, if you think about it, so many of the terms, just that one term, critical thinking. I mean, charter schools, all these different things. We think, no, those are good. They're not good. I mean, you know, every week we, okay, here's another thing we discovered is actually not what you have, you know, not what you've been thinking it is all this time. Let's take a swift break. We'll be right back on track with you, and we'll be talking about, I think, prong four we got to get to, or we're going to lose Charlotte. We'll see you again in 2 minutes here at KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind. With a 9-foot grand, a 10-piece band, and a 12-barrel chorus line. I'd pay some loot in a 3-piece suit, give him one dance for a dime. If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind.
If you're wondering why the theme today is devil-related, it's because of the article that Charlotte is referencing, which is, say it again, the devil and the seven-pronged fork.
Yeah, the devil's seven-pronged fork. And Bob has found us. He said there are quite a few. How hard was it to find devil music for us today, Bob?
Oh, not at all.
No problem whatsoever.
There are a lot of songs with the word devil in them in one context or another. Yeah.
I think you've had a very novel selection. So just in case people are like, why are all the songs about the devil on a Sunday morning? That's why.
You know, the chat room's great this morning, which is kind of where my mind was a minute ago. Some good discussions going on. Jump on at wethepeopleradio.us.
All right. So back to Charlotte. Okay. So... prong four was media. I didn't want to cheat people out of the rest of the points you had listed in this article because they were great. And I think media is something that almost everybody could recognize and agree with.
Well, yeah, and I think that Rockefeller quote is very useful. You know, when they go and look at this article, they'll be able to identify where all this stuff came from. But that was in 2002 in Baden-Baden, Germany, when he... David Rockefeller, who is so involved in, of course, all of this, as all of you know, especially Agenda 21 and education and everything. I talk about Carnegie all the time, but don't worry, they work together. But anyway, that quote from him at that conference in Baden-Baden, where he thanked profusely the major media for keeping most of these problems that we're discussing today under wraps, so the American people wouldn't know they were being fleeced, taken to the cleaners. That's a nice way. I'd rather go to the cleaners than go to where we're going, huh? And anyway, that is very important, that media. That's one of the prongs of the fork. And then, of course, the next one, I think I may have gone through this, was the Federal Reserve, you know, the endless supply of money. And the tax-exempt foundations, who were investigated in 1953, but that investigation was shut down abruptly by Dwight Eisenhower and the foundations, lobbying against the investigation that showed that the tax exempts were using their money, just like Carnegie, right, to change America from a free market capitalistic system under the Constitution to a socialist system, planned economy. Okay, so that investigation of the tax exempts never continued. It should be reinstituted, but you know, there's no way we can do that now, because if in 1953 we were unable, and we had a lot of really good people in Congress then, to keep that investigation going in 1953, you know very well now that we would never be able to do it. There'd only be one person in the Congress who would want to do it, and that would be Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then we have the next one, of course, we all talk about it all the time, which is the deliberate dumbing down of America and the brainwashing, complete brainwashing of our children in, you know, ideals, values, et cetera, contrary to what the parents and grandparents, et cetera, and our great founding fathers had, you know, a complete brainwashing in the schools. And the brainwashing of the teachers as well, poor things, you know, they've had to go through this even more than our children. Then gradually, we dealt with that. The frog, that's so important, the frog in the cold water, heated up gradually over 100 years. And that's very important that you understand. Not only do we discuss that, they do in private and often in public. They used to. Paul Mort, a very important educator for New York City, change agent in... And by the way, folks, I went through change agent training in the 70s. I don't know whether I mentioned that. A teacher paid for me to go through change agent training because she said, you're right on target, I want you to go. And I went. And I was taught with a federally funded program out of my old office, which would become my office that I worked in. I was taught how to identify the resistors in the community. You know, we could talk about that later a bit, but that's very important for the listeners to know. I mean, I've been there, Anyway, let's go back, though, to this Paul Mort in 1940, sometime in 1940, New York City, major change agent. And he said he was the one that brought the pilot restructuring program for America into the schools using Montgomery County, Maryland. That's in my book. Look under Montgomery County, Maryland. Paul Mort was brought down from New York City to help implement this in the 50s, I believe, in 60s. He said it takes 50 years to bring about change, from the beginning of change to the implementation. Okay? So that's exactly where we are now. Isn't that interesting? 50 years. They've been doing it since 1960. They got the Carnegie started in 1934 getting the ball rolling, but the legislation in 1965, the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, was key for changing our academic system of education, which was the best in the world, to performance-based Skinner. That happened in 1965. So Paul Mort said it takes 50 years. Now, okay, what is that? That's it, right? We're right on target, aren't we? Yes. We're right on target. You have to give them credit. They did it. They started with Montgomery County, and now we're putting it in all over California, all over Maine. The system is being shifted from academic focus for our children, which was so wonderful for them future-wise. There's, you know, ridiculous excuses they make now about the economy and our kids have got to be able to have jobs. This is ridiculous. They're not going to be training them how to get jobs. The workforce training they're talking about are in Mickey Mouse skills and the proper attitudes to get along in the group, in the total quality management collectivist corporation. That's what they're talking about. So that's not going to help your child get a job. Once they've been trained that proper way, they will be plucked out to fill the job that is available in your community. I mean, Professor Eugene Boyce at the University of Georgia said it years ago. He said, in communist countries, they do not educate for jobs that don't exist. That's in my book, okay?
Gone are the days of living your dream and doing what you want. Well, and
gone, yes. And, you know, for people listening in now who may not have children or businessmen who are tired of hearing about education, if you've got a small business
on
Main Street,
that's where I was going, yep.
You better realize that you're going to go out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you want to take money from the government. If you want to join this public-private partnership that President Reagan started, and I went to the White House meetings on it, if you want to join this public-private partnership, you'll get money from the government for your little company. Yes, you will. And you can go and decide who you want to pluck out of the public school system to work in your little company, if that's what you want to do, okay? But you're going to be controlled A through Z. Now, the guy who doesn't want to be part of this. What happens to him? He goes out of business. How can he compete with a company across the street that sells shoes who's taking money from the government?
Well, you know, a legitimate business in the private sector actually has to have a balance sheet that balances.
Right.
And he's got to be good with his numbers, and he's got to have a good, solid business background, or he won't make it. But if you're supported or funded by the government, you know, you've got this endless supply.
It's a little bit like solar. You don't have to be efficient because it's all subsidized. Well, we were talking about this last night on the way home, Bill and I were. And, you know, I remember when my dad was 55, so he was 5 years older than I am, and he was working, he was the vice president of a very large surety and bond corporation. They did really big bonds on really big projects, and my dad had been in that industry a long time. I mean, he helped develop that industry, and they fired him when he was 55 because they could hire a couple of college graduates and still pay them together less than they paid my dad. Well, now you look at the workforce, and in a weird way, the people who are considered older, before, if you were over 50 and you had to look for work, it was like you were doomed. You were too old. But now, it's kind of like, hey, if you're over 50, hey, maybe that guy can still think, you know? It's an interesting dynamic that's happening, and we were talking about that. How do you start out in the workforce if you have never learned how to figure anything out? And if you've never really learned how to work? Again, the type of coursework, the kinds of things we had to do back then, and we're not doing them. You could fail 7 classes and still have a high school diploma. So you hire a kid with a high school diploma, or you get in the. Well, now you need to ask them for their grades.
That's a diploma, it's not worth the.
And
piece
see how
of
many
paper
F's they have.
Yes, you can see
you just want to make sure you have all 7 F's.
Yeah, you can see if you got the dopey kid or the smart kid. Anyway, I'm on a rant. Sorry.
Well, I think that. I mean, for parents who think that this restructuring is going to be going back to basics and they're going to be learning, the academics, that's not true. They're being lied. They're really being lied to. And they're, you know, the corporations, have been talking for a long time about how they're getting students out of school who, don't have an academic background. They can't add. They can't, but you know what? The thing is that, that's not what they're really looking for. They're looking for the right attitudes and values to work in the group. It's the collective that they're looking for. Total quality management is pure socialism. And any corporate guys out there who are listening in, they know that. And I believe what you're talking about basically had a lot to do with that. I had friends whose husbands were high up in the corporate world 20 years ago or so. They had to go through this stuff. Total brainwashing. The total quality management. And this is what, as I said, this is the risk program. What else can it be when they're getting the Baldrige Award for being a good school up in Alaska?
Now, what is the Baldrige Award?
Have you ever heard of such a thing in your whole life? That's an admission right there.
What's the Baldrige Award? We're dopes. We don't know what the Baldrige Award is.
Baldrige was the sort of father with Deming of total quality management.
Oh. Altogether
look
now.
Look up Baldrige Award. They're giving that award. They gave it to the school in Alaska, the risk school, because they did such a good job training the students. In having the right attitudes and all. Are you, really? You think I'm joking? This is all over the country. And
we wish you were joking. We know you're not.
I went to an in-service, a little meeting for parents in tiny Dresden, Maine, where they put it into the little places first. And I just happened to live here. Interesting, me of all people. I went and I watched. And this facilitator who was trying to convince the parents and everybody how wonderful this thing is, the Alaska thing, that Mortar wrote about in the Washington Post 8 years ago, that tells you something, that they were trying to convince us. And then the facilitator, she doesn't even know what she's doing. She doesn't know what she's putting in. She puts up a video that came out of Paris, France, which was part of my old office. The Office of Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, which is all for jobs and full employment. She puts that up, And in the video, they're calling for this program.
You know, there's almost as many links. I just pulled up the Baldrige Award. There's almost as many links for that as there is for Agenda 21.
Dang.
Oh, yes. And now type in OECD and okay. see what they're up to. That's,
okay.
that's the program going in now for school to work across the country.
Oh, here it is. About OECD.
OECD.
50 years has been one of the world's largest and most reliable sources of comparable statistics in economic and social. And then I'd have to click on it to see what else
that's
it
right.
says.
You know, so folks, look. It's not what they're telling you. Your superintendent, your principals, your whoever they are, I don't want to go after them. They've been so conditioned. They're, you know what? They're even good people, but they're conditioned. They're conditioned. They really believe that this is going to be good for your children, and you have got to show them.
Oh, yes, yes.
You've got to show them my book.
OECD
educators love that book.
OECD is to promote policies that will improve the economic and the social well-being of people around the world.
And doesn't that sound snazzy?
It's a UN agency.
Okay, we're coming back. We
got
to take a quick break.
I got into the big file in my office when I was down in 1981 in the Office of Education Research and Improvement. I noticed one day that there was a big safe that was open. And I went and I got into it. It was the OECD safe. And my boss had hysterics when he found out. And he said, don't you ever dare go back in there. And they locked it. But you know what? The horse was out of the barn.
Geez, Charlotte, you were like a spy. You missed your calling. You would have been a good, well, you were a good spy. Okay, we're coming back with Charlotte Iserbeet for the last 10, 12 minutes. You can swiftly go search on all those things and get all smartened up. We'll be right back with you. You're listening to KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Doom, 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 doom. Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are? I'd like to wake up and find devil or angel.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
So come on, Jack, be nimble, Jack, be quick. Jack Flash sat on a candlestick, 'cause fire is the devil's only friend. Oh, and as I watched him the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell.
Nice.
And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. The day the music died, he was singing by
Bob, I gotta tell you, songs take on a whole new meaning with you. God, that would hurt to sit on a candlestick.
Geez, had to go back to the beginning, didn't you? Couldn't you end with it?
Wow. Hey, so Charlotte, have we covered all the prongs?
Yeah, I think so.
The
last prong, of course, is regionalism and the UN. Community education is very dangerous. That community ed is the plan. It's the Chinese Communist plan. And I would like to point out that that was admitted by a community educator in 1970 at a conference on community ed, where they asked, you know, one of the community educators said, what would you, where does this come from? What is it? What would you compare it to? And he said, it's the Chinese Communist system. And I think that you gals in California and guys, you know what you're doing there with UN Agenda 21. That's communism. That's Chinese communism. And community ed is lifelong. That's the United Nations plan, lifelong for all of us under the umbrella of the school district and unelected boards, et cetera, regionalism, no more local government, all the services, you know, abortion, take grandma to see the leaves in the autumn, everything, art, music, good stuff, sounds good, right? Learning how to make a suit. I've got one of the community education books, and it says right in there, if a guy learns how to make a suit in a community ed program, doesn't make any difference if he messes up on it. Did you change his values? So anyway, that's what we're looking at. That's community ad, and they don't use the word much anymore because it gotten real bad reputation in the 70s and 80s when we found out. People who want to know what it is, type into the American Deception website the word FELD, F-E-L-D. That is probably the finest report ever done on community education. You'll look at it and you will feel, oh my goodness, that's what they're doing right here. It's lifelong. There will be no freedom, no nothing. Okay, so that, but all of this is regionalism, because that's communism, and it's the UN, and it's what unfortunately started, basically, as I said, in the 60s, in California, out of the governor's office. The governor happened to be Ronald Reagan. He was the one who put his signature on the paper, The Politics of Change. And that was how to get the community to control them using all of these techniques, the dialectic, etc., the process of change. This was the beginning of the use of change agents. It came right out of Governor Reagan's office. Maureen Heaton found the key document. You have it there. I sent it to you. You can send it all over the world. It's a PDF. The Californians that got upset, government people, by the way, in your counties got upset. There's a statement there that they wrote in regard to what happened in California with the dismantling. The goal was to dismantle local government, to create regional government. That document is there for your people to read. It's not Maureen's document. Maureen happened to find the original document, right? Then she went and spilled the beans around the state and got all these other good county people, etc., on board with her. They tried to kill it. They almost did. It's there for you to look at. If you want to understand Agenda 21, you guys really can say that you have been there ever since the beginning.
Dang.
It came out of Governor Reagan's office.
And for those people that don't think that's true, we will upload that PDF to the website, and you can read about it. And
yeah,
it's always nice when you read their own writing.
Maybe you can print it out, and then you can tear it up and put it in the fire and say we're all kooks.
That's fun, too. Go back to change agents, because I made a note that you were going to go back and highlight some things about that.
All right, fine. In 1976, when I was on the local board and I was finding all these things that bothered me enormously, since Maine has always been a major pilot state, and I had just returned from 20 years overseas, so these things were bothering me. And I'd write letters, and I'd vote wrong, in quotes, on the school board. You know, I didn't know why children had to sit on the floor and learn reading and whatever. And then, you know, and so I had a call from a retired teacher, a master teacher. And she said, Charlotte, you don't know me, but I've been following your work. And she said, I'm very interested. She said, you're absolutely correct. What's happening? I've taught all over the world. She said, you've identified it, but I wonder if you know about change agents. And I said, no, I don't, although my superintendent was one, I found out later, out of Harvard. But she said, I'm going to pay for you to go for some change agent training. And she did, $100 back then, that's a lot of money. I went. And this guy came in, and he had this big manual with him out of the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, funded by what would become my office in the future in 1980. U.S. Office of Ed, but it had been funded since 1965, and it's called A Change Agent's Guide for Innovation. And we were all taught there, you know, nice, normal-looking teachers and myself and all, we were taught how to identify the resistors in our community, the people who didn't like sex ed, didn't like drug ed, didn't like bullying ed, didn't like whatever ed, all right, death ed. All of us who wondered, what does this have to do with education? And we were taught how to identify these people. And so I thought, what? I'd lived in communist countries, et cetera. And I thought, what has happened to my country? They're training educators to identify resistors? Because this is what happened in Vietnam or whatever. I was there, you know, with refugees coming out of North Vietnam when I was returning from the Far East. I talked to them, and they told me how, you know, the grandpa was who was the mayor. He resisted the communists, right? So the communists, they cut his head off. and they marched him around town, the head, on a pole, huh? Because he was a resistor. So, naturally, I didn't like this idea that I was being trained to identify resistors. And from that time on, we did get the great big fat book free as part of the $100. Hmm? I sent that book and all of these test cases, you know, which were true. Case studies from principals and teachers and members of the community. They can be change agents, too. All of these different case studies on how they got sex ed and drug ed, all this stuff, all these things that have education hanging off the end of them, which are deliberately, they are geared, they are developed to do just the opposite of what they tell the parents they're for. And I have proof of that. And if people want the proof, all they have to do is go look under death education in my big book. And they will find an article from the Guidance Counselor's Journal that says that we will use...
Charlotte, we're down to 20 seconds.
The same way.
All right.
Sex ed.
All right, Charlotte Iserbeet, we love you. Have a great time with your family today. Thank you for coming on with us. Don't give up.
I'm glad I was able to keep them from arriving in the middle of the interview.
That was nice. Go to We the People Radio.
And,
look up Charlotte.
I'm glad you've got all that stuff on the website.
We'll be talking.